Good morning and a very warm welcome to all of you on a slightly grey morning, but it's lovely to be able to all be here together today. And a special welcome to anyone that's visiting. It's lovely to have you with us this morning. We begin by reading for the third and final time some bans of marriage. And so I published the bans of marriage between Ian Roger Reakey, divorced of the parish of Staplehurst in Kent, and Catherine Georgina McAndrew, divorced of this parish. If anyone knows of any reason why these two persons should not be joined together in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. This is for the third time of asking. Grateful that there are no complaints, let us pray for this couple as they prepare for their future together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have been doing in Ian and Catherine's lives. We ask that you will bless them as they prepare for this new chapter together. May they know your grace and your presence with them as they prepare, anticipate, and celebrate their wedding day together. To the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our second notice is on a slightly less happy note, but a positive note, which is that in October, on the 12th of October, at 2:30 in the afternoon, we're doing a session called Grave Talk. It's something which gives us the opportunity to confront the reality that sadly, one day, we all shall die, yes, in the faith of Jesus Christ, yes, in the hope of a resurrection, but also in the midst of paperwork. There's many elements around dying that we often don't think about, whether it be matters to do with a will, making sure that our accounts are accessible by family members or spouses and so on and so forth. Lots of little details, but it's very easy to miss until you're in the midst of it. Grave Talk is a space where you can have those conversations and get tips and advice from one another as we take us home a moment in time to reflect on the things we don't really want to reflect on together. It should be a really positive afternoon, so don't let it put you off, and if you feel hesitant, that might be a good indicator that it would be something you might benefit from. The last of our notices, I'd like to invite Catherine and David to the front to join me for. You should have noticed in your orders of service there's an extra leaflet. And this is an opportunity for us to just be transparent with all of you about how things are going financially for the church at the moment. So, Catherine, I wonder if you could give us a quick breakdown of the headlines, and then I'll ask David to speak a bit on some of the details.
Yeah. So, as you can see from our sheet, roughly the monthly income from the inland revenue, standing orders, and giving comes to £4,300 a month on average. And the outgoings, electricity, gas, insurance, organ maintenance, etc., comes to £5,000, obviously leaving a shortfall of £700. Obviously we've got reserves, but those can't go on indefinitely, and so we're needing to ask for just a rethink of people's finances potentially. We've got various projects that we're planning. David will talk about them now.
Yes, we've got a couple of areas. Electrical wiring has been in the fore in the last 2 weeks. I've had an electrician in last week because we are required by law to have an electrical wiring certificate. We didn't pass that, so we had to have rectification work, primarily with circuit breakers, so that, for example, if you're doing flower arranging in the alcoves and you water the flowers and there are electrical sockets right underneath, you now won't get electrocuted. So we have spent about £700 in the last week purely on the electrical work. We've also got to have a major MOT on our roof. We've got broken and missing tiles. And also at the gable ends, we've got stonework where there are cracks which the roofers will need to look at and assess how much work is necessary there. So again, we're looking probably at a few thousand pounds for that. And going back again to electrical work, we've got to have our portable appliances tested, and apparently the uplighters on both sides are portable appliances, so that's got to be dealt with. So as you can see, you know, things are ongoing. We've got a handrail to be put in down to the basement where the gas boiler is, because those are very steep, uneven steps, and if we don't have a handrail, we could be in trouble. So there's always something, basically, to take money, and at the moment, quite frankly, we just haven't got enough coming in.
Thank you, Catherine, and thank you, David. And they're sharing this not as a lecture, but as your church wardens, which is that they are your representative into the running of the church. Yes, I can say all of this information as well, but they are your hands and ears and eyes in the midst of everything. So I'm very grateful to them for outlining what we've just heard. Money coming into churches is always something of a tricky thing, but money is something which we all are having to wrestle with in the current climate. I want to start by saying a very big thank you, because I know that there are some people who in recent times have reflected on their giving and have increased their standing orders. But there's always a question of how much are we able to give, and what do we place our value in when it comes to church? I like this word value because I think it helps us to think beyond numbers. We value things that we attend and put our attention to, and we can return our value in a number of different ways. One of those ways is by offering time, which many of you do in different ways. Another is by offering talents, by offering your skills and abilities in different ways, which is also very much appreciated. But the third element that always comes with those is treasure. That is the financial giving. And there is a sense in which our financial giving as Christians should not be heard as another charity saying, please give, otherwise someone's going to die every 30 seconds, or please have an emotive response. Our giving as Christians should be viewed as a part of our worship. And because it's a part of our worship, it is between us and God. So we are making a request, but we are not here to make a judgment on any of you. But it's an invitation to invite you to reflect if you can give more. Please consider if you would be able to. There are standing order forms on the back. We'd be very grateful for those. But if you would also like to just make a one-off donation, then Alison would be very glad to hear from you. The bank details are there. And we have a short-term target that we would like to hit of about £5,000. But £5,000 will mean at some point in the future we would be asking for another £5,000. So the overall goal needs to be sustainable giving. And sustainable giving means a sustainable church. And a sustainable church means it cannot just be those of us who are in here today, when there are so many people outside who do not yet know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Yes, we're making a request for money today, but my real request, my real desire, is if you value this church, make that value known to the people in our community so that they too can receive value from the gospel of Jesus Christ, know that there is good news in the midst of whatever anxiety they might be struggling with, whether it be about health or finances, whether it be about family situations or whatever is going on in their life. We have good news. Let us offer that value to them. And together, that value will sustain itself, because God is a God who calls, who equips, and who provides. And so with all that in mind, let us recenter our hearts and minds onto God as we stand and sing our first hymn, number 42, Be Thou Our Vision. Thank you both. Gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with
you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Would you please be seated? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all those who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. O God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you they may be found steadfast in faith and active in love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated to hear our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 1. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common: the Lord is the maker of them all. Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity, and the rod they wield in fury will be broken. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court. For the Lord will take up their case and will exact life for life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is James chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not commit murder."
If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you've become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about it, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. In our collect prayer, it said, "O God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love," our hymn picks up on this theme, number 1547. 1547. There must be more than this. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you.
And from there Jesus arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement, you may go on your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Epaphra," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder if we have ever felt like we wish we could just have 5 minutes to ourselves. Whether it be the phone constantly ringing with spam calls, whether it be that one nephew who keeps on getting into trouble that needs some advice, whether it be the next door neighbour who's noticed something in your garden that really you should have fixed several weeks ago, whether it's whatever it is, I'm sure we all have moments where we wish we could just have 5 minutes peace. And I think that our scene that we've had in our gospel is one where Jesus was feeling that very human element of tiredness and a desire to get away from things and to have a moment's space. And we encounter the beginning of the key theme of the whole gospel. It cannot be hidden. Jesus goes into his house hoping that no one will know that he is there. In our current day and age, we could imagine the paparazzi, someone snapping a picture of him. It's gone up on TikTok, it's gone up on Instagram, it's gone onto the social media, and before you know it, everybody is surrounding the house and it's 50 people deep, and he has been found. Well, this is the social equivalent of the day. He was coming in, traveling through a region. They stopped off at a house. Just get a moment's rest for sore, weary feet, talking to the disciples, explaining what's been going on. And then this woman has managed to somehow get past the front door and come in and is begging, "Lord, please, I know that you can fix my daughter." And his reaction to her is one that has puzzled many people ever since. Some people say that this is a racial slur that Jesus is making against this Gentile woman, calling her a dog. Get away! Who am I to give you bread? Other people have viewed this as a witty, banterous moment, more like we might see at a comedy store where it's like, well, you know, come on, humor me, engage with me. Should I really do this for you? I mean, you're not a Jew. Why would I do something for you? But with the anticipation that he was nevertheless going to show mercy. I don't know what the right interpretation is. What I do know is this woman, who was an outcast amongst his company, she was first of all a woman, a grave sin in and of itself, I'm sorry ladies, but in that time, She was not a Jew, stay away. And make it worse, she was from Syrophoenicia, a place that the people ethnically did not like or get on with. This is the trifecta of ineligibility to come forward and ask for what she's asking. And yet she comes because she knows that if she can get his attention, if he will hear her prayer, he can do something that no one else in her life has been able to do. And that is fix her daughter, who was suffering from an unclean spirit. And she comes And Jesus engages with her. And he says, "Who am I to give bread to someone who is not able to come to the table of fellowship?" And she says, "Well, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs of the children." And bread here is a loaded word. We've seen it in recent sermons reflecting on Jesus as the bread of life. We've seen it as God sustaining and nourishing the Israelites in the wilderness. He's saying, "Should I give to you God's blessings when it's not intended for anyone other at this point than the Jews?" And yet she receives the fullness of God's blessings twofold. First, the blessing of attention. He hears her, he sees her, he acknowledges her issue. And second, he answers her request. Her daughter is made well. That is a wonderful model for every single one of us in this church, because we are not Jews. We are not those who belong to the Jewish nation. We are not those who are all walking around circumcised as members of that covenant. We are Gentiles, not even from the Holy Land. We are from England, from Britain, from other countries around the world, but living and residing here in this moment. We are about as far away as people in that day could imagine from being members of the people of God. And yet Jesus on the cross died for the sins of the whole world. His church is members of every people and nation, every language and tribe. It knows no partiality. As James was saying, there is no longer a distinction between those who are rich and those who are poor. As Paul says, there is no longer Greek nor Gentile, slave nor free. We are all able to approach God as this woman did and receive his attention and his answers to our prayers. Sometimes answers to prayers do not look the way that we might expect. And Jesus often doesn't look the way that we might expect. For instance, our gospel reading goes on to the deaf man with a speech impediment. And it's a strange thing for me to stand here and talk about a deaf person being healed of their deafness as a deaf person standing here who has been prayed over many times, I assure you, by Pentecostals and other fervent charismatic Christians who believe in the power of prayer, which I also believe in, who have prayed over me and put their hands on my head and said, "Samuel, God wants to free you of your deafness." And yet if I don't put my hearing aids in, Linnea can tell you I do not hear what she is asking me to do. There's many things about being deaf which are inconvenient. Not least, you have to turn the television up louder than anyone else with you would like it to be. But the most common problem is when you don't hear someone and you say, "Sorry, could you repeat that?" And they repeat it in different words, and the one thing that you heard is then not in those words. So you ask them, "Sorry, but what was it you said?" And nearly always on that extra request, the phrase comes, "Don't worry, it doesn't matter." That is one of the most isolating things that any of us ever hear. There is a moment of communication that we have failed to receive, and then because we haven't received it, we are excluded from it. And this is something that God does not do. There is a moment of communication, primarily to the Jews, but then for the whole world. He says, "Do you hear what I am doing? I will proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand as many times as I need to until you hear that I love you. I will open your ears. I will release your tongue. And you shall be well." This is a truth that can happen for us in physical healing and deliverance. But it's also a spiritual sign to us of what happens in our hearts. And there's something very interesting that happens here that again is unexpected. Jesus deals with this man in dignity, in private. Takes him away from the watchful gaze of the crowd. He examines him, tenderly looks at him. He touches his ears, he spits and touches his tongue. He sighs. The breath of Jesus, the spirit of Jesus at work in this moment. And having healed him, he says, "Do not tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what has happened to you." And we read this amazing phrase. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. It's my job as a preacher to proclaim that the gospel is good news. To say that Jesus Christ loves you, that on the cross he died for your sins that you might be healed of your shame, offered forgiveness and receive the hope of new life. It's my job to say that God has done great and good things in my life. That's why I care. And yet Jesus says, "Do not tell anyone." So whatever you do, when you leave this place and you go to the pub for lunch, when you see your family, your friends, your neighbors and strangers, do not tell them that this morning was good. Do not tell them that God hears your prayers. Do not tell them that you are loved by the creator of the universe who is beyond all comprehension. And not just did he make the whole universe and he knows the whole world, but he knows you by name. Don't tell them that. Especially do not tell them that he loves them too. Keep it secret. Keep it hidden. Hide it under a bowl. Put a blanket on top of it. Cover it up. If we don't tell anyone, we can keep it all to ourselves. If we don't tell anyone, we don't have to deal with the riffraff coming in here. We don't have to deal with those people that are politically awkward. We don't have to deal with those who are excessively progressive or on the far right. We don't have to deal with the poor people. We don't have to deal with the billionaires. We can just be us. Whatever God has done in your life, don't tell anyone. Please, keep it hidden. Because it's not about us. Jesus tried to be hidden. And he was God himself, stepping into that house. And this woman found him. He is the interruptible God. Wherever he went, people flocked to him, surrounding him, asking, "Please may I touch your robe? Please heal my hearing, heal my sight, make me walk, set me free, forgive me." James says that faith without works is dead. The one who resurrects the dead is God Almighty. The one who moves in power is the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and God the Father, moving in our lives. And no matter how hard we try to keep this to ourselves, God is the one at work within us, and he is the one at work outside. So don't tell anyone about the gospel. Don't tell anyone about Jesus Christ. Let's see what happens. Amen. If you wish to ignore me, please stand as we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Stand firm in your faith and let all that you do be done in love. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. In my enthusiasm, I have forgotten to pray. So if we could please be seated, Deborah is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Words from our readings this morning. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. And what good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Lord, you came among us in human form to show us the way to you. You preached a gospel of love and compassion and lived a life helping those whom society had judged worthless. Help us to recognize responsibility as your present-day disciples, to know our neighbor, and to reach out where we find need. Give us a generous heart and a willingness to make sacrifices for others with our resources, our skills, and our time. Help us never to forget that you love us all equally, without discrimination as to our lot in this life. And give us the judgment to resist aspirations of high standing and material wealth at the expense of reflecting the loving care you have shown to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the world and our neighbours whom we may never know in person, but whose needs are in plain sight. So often we feel helpless in the face of war, disaster, and disease. But we know that you are there in the midst of all things, and that when all seems hopeless, we can turn to you in prayer. We hold out to you all those who are the innocent victims of the atrocities which fill our media. May we never grow immune to the suffering of others, or complacent to the privileges which we are able to enjoy. We pray too that those who have been given the duty of leadership and decision making will fulfill their obligations wisely, justly, and with compassion. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In our own neighbourhood, we thank you for those who are pioneers, who have the will to set up and maintain initiatives when need can be met. The Wickham Homeless Connection, the One Can Trust, Village Care, the Dementia Cafe, to name but a few among many local organisations who do such vital work. In our fellowship, we bring before you those appointed to minister and all who give of their time and talents within the benefice, some whose acts of service are so quiet that they are easily overlooked. Bless their work and give them the energy and vision they need to continue. We pray for our young people who are returning to or making new beginnings in schools, universities, and work. Be with them at this time. Guide and support them as they take their next steps in life's journey. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We turn our prayers to all who are struggling in their lives at present, those who are sick and in pain, the lonely, the fearful, and the vulnerable, all who are troubled in any way. By your grace, may they know the comfort of your healing power. We ask for your blessing on Gail Wellings as she continues her recovery, and in a short moment of silence, any others on our hearts this morning. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask that you draw close to those who are feeling the pain of grief at the loss of a loved one, either recently or at this time of year. We thank you for their lives among us and ask that your promise, and ask that you will help us to support all who mourn, taking strength from your promise of everlasting life through the death and resurrection of your Son. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves, that as we go from this church today to start the week ahead, we walk more closely with you in all that we do, truly spreading aloud the honours of your name. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Confident that God has heard our prayers this morning, let us, like the man whose tongue was released, stand and sing. O, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Number 412.
Oh,
Jesus Christ, you have opened the scriptures to us. Let our hearts burn with your love and be known to us in the breaking of the bread, and abide with us always, that we may abide in you, who live and reign now and forever. Amen. Our service continues on page 7. Would you please be seated? The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us upon the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit and according to your holy will, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption. As we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As children of God, emboldened by the Spirit, we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. All are welcome to come forward to the rail to receive communion, but if you would rather receive a blessing, please keep your hands down, and I will be glad to bless you. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul and everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our body and soul and everlasting life. The blood of Christ. Keep, O Lord, your church with your perpetual mercy, because without you our human frailty cannot but fall. Keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable for our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now I think that we have had Tiger Club this morning. Is there a Tiger Club report today? Is there a wave or anything? If not, we shall share a prayer for you.
They're a bit reluctant.
Well, let us give thanks for Tiger Club and all that they have done. And let us say a prayer for them, especially this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tiger Club. We thank you for each of the young people who have been in there this morning, who have returned after having been away during the summer. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be close to them. Give them your joy and your peace in all that they are doing as they enter this new term of school life and this new season of family life. We pray that you will bless them and encourage them, and that they may know you more dearly and love you more nearly, day by day. Amen. And so let us all stand and sing with heart and voice, In Christ Alone.
Since curse has lost its his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
Father, we thank you for these gifts and various others which are given by various other ways and means. We ask that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. Amen. The gospel said that the more Jesus charged them not to tell anyone, the more zealously they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord. So whatever you do, tell no one. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.